or Avram. So if you know, you know. If you don't know, let me tell you. Because the generation before Mashiach, the Rebbe of the generation before Mashiach is going to have to be Avram Avinu. The unique life of Avram Avinu is going to be paralleled itself in each individual before Mashiach comes. The klal as well, but the yesod is on the individual. We saw last week that the stories in the Torah aren't stories. They're there for each generation to learn something out of. So I want to just focus on one aspect. I've spoken about it many times there, but I just want to take it one step further. Maybe one step deeper. The Nisayoyin of the Akedah. We know that Avram Avinu had 10 tests. We haven't got chairs. Avram Avinu withstood 10 tests that everybody in this room is going to have to go through, or is going through, or has been through. The final test is the Akedah, which is the Nisayon of this generation. I'll explain to you, as hopefully by the time we finish, we have said to the Shmaya, you'll understand what I'm talking about. The final test, the final Nisayon of a kium of a Ben Adam and a kium of the generations is the Akedah. And we know, Chazal tell us that if Avram Avinu had not passed the Akedah, the other 9 tests would have been a waste of time. They wouldn't have been worth it. All kastim wouldn't have meant anything. Jumping into the fires and being prepared to get yourself nisraft legamrei rather than mishtachavet to Nimrod, that doesn't count for anything if you don't get through the Akedah. You understand what's going on here? What's the fundamental difference? We know the Akedah. We don't on Rosh Hashanah ask Hashem to remember the Akedah, the all kastim, or the nisonis of Lech Lecho. We don't ask him for that. Those aren't big nisonis. You wouldn't want to have the schus of that. No, remember the Akedah. The aisle and the Akedah, that's the big schus. We say it every morning, it's in the Siddur. Well, why don't we say all the 10 nisonis? Why don't we read them like we've got the Yud Gimli Karim Rav Sholom? No, please. I'll stop. Then I'll stand. Seeing someone giving a shiur standing is not as strange as seeing someone. I'm just lazy, that's why I sit. But I stand for Kiddush, but that's because it's quite short, but otherwise I'd sit for that, isn't it? Oh. Okay. There's two types of nisyonis. I don't want to go into this. There's a whole share on its own. There's two types of nisyonis. There's a nisyon that's called yesh miyesh. It's a nisyon where you don't create anything new. You just do what you're capable of doing. I'll explain it now. And there's a nisyon called yesh miyain. It's a nisyon that you couldn't do. You couldn't do it. You couldn't withstand the test. Yeah. And you withstand the test by being megala kodesh baruch hu in the picture. But that's his whole chapter of this in his Sefer Living Inspired. I remember first time I heard that chair from Rabbi Tetz. I used to learn with him every evening. I went to him to learn, and he was dancing in the lounge. He was dancing on his own. I said to him, Makara, what's going on here? He said, I just listened to the shiur that I just got. And he said over the shiur to me, that was the first time I heard the shiur. That's what made such a big impression on me. You'd have to either listen to the shiur if you've got the time, or at least go see it. The nisayon of the yesod of what a nisayon really is. But there's two types of nisoinus. There's a nisoin called yesh miyesh, and there's a nisoin called yesh miyain. He's talking about the nisoin called yesh miyain, where you can't withstand that test. And the way you get through that test is by Kodesh Baruch Hu schlepping you through, and you're Magala Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world, and you become a makovel for the Shechina. That's a nisoin of the Avos. Then there's a test called yesh miyesh. Where do you see this in the world of middas? In the world of middas, every midda, chutz mi one, we'll see, has a positive quality. Person's about kas. Well, kas, what are you supposed to do? Get rid of kas? No, he can take the cast and he can change it and turn it and use that midah for the way he learns, for the passion he puts into his learning. In the milchama against the yetzer, there's a lot you can do with the midah of cast in a positive way. Gaiva. Gaiva in a negative way can take you so far out of this world, you won't know how to find your way back. And yet, all the Balei Musa, all the Rishonim, the times of the Rishonim where he discussed how much positive qualities there are in gaiva. So you're not creating anything new. You're taking a midah that you have a bad midah called gaiva, and you're subsuming it and using it for the good. That's called yesh miyesh. There's a nisayon, one midah. There's one midah that the Balei Musa say that has no positive qualities at all. Nothing at all. Anybody want to guess? And it's not kas. That's why I used kas as the example, because everybody says kas, but it's not. Kas itself you can't use positively, but the middle of kas you can use. Atlas. Plus. No, kovod also has positive benefits. Adarab, kovod atoira, kovod no. Atimus halev. Blocked heart. Stone heart. The Mephoshim explain that it means bilbul adas. Confusion. Total confusion. There's nothing good in confusion and in atimus halev, a blocked, stopped heart. If he's got a blocked, stopped heart, there is nothing there that he can yesh mi yesh. He has to create yesh man. He has to come up with something new. He has to be megala something new in his repertoire. He can't use that meter for anything. Let's try and understand the akedah a little bit now. If you understand this nakuda, I promise you now it'll change your life. Especially in the nisoyin of this generation, the morale says that the 80% of the yidden that never came out of Mitzrayim have to come out of this galus. Those neshamas that never got out of Mitzrayim have to get out of this galus. Why did they get out? Because they want chamishim shari tuma. Whoever was a mente shari tuma got out. Even Dosan Vaviram were mente shari tuma. They got out. Even they were a shoyin that got out. But the yidden that never got out because they want chamishim shari tuma. And all the neshamas, those neshamas are going to have to get out of this galus. What is chamishim shari tuma? He says, atimus halev. You do a Kiruv seminar today, no one argues with you, no one farts with you, no one's got anything to throw at you. No one farts with you. After they've heard the whole shit, they say, "That's fascinating, Rabbi, thank you so much, goodbye." What do you mean goodbye? You just did Loich Patli. Try work with teenagers today. Yeah. No need to have farts with you. Teenagers used to be fired up and wild and argue. Say that. You say this, I say this. Patli. Atimus halev, and there's nothing you can do with it. You have to give them some yesh mi'ayim. Where do we get the yesh mi'ayim from? So let's just take a look at the akedah. The akedah is a fascinating sugya, the most fascinating sugya you'll ever find. I can't find. I mean, you're not allowed to say this, but I can't find a parsha in the Torah that is more fascinating than the akedah. It's the sugya of bilbul adas. That's what the sugya is. There is so much confusion there. Nothing makes any sense. Doesn't make any sense. You told me yesterday that Yitzhak's the future of the Jewish people. You tell me today to kill him. Where must I do it? I'll show you where. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. Abba, where's the aisle that we're going to shech? No, Hashem will take care of the aisle. Nothing's clear. No one tells Abba anything. It's all cloudy. Where's the mountain? You see the place there? He says covered in clouds. It's covered in orifel, dark cloudness, total confusion. Yeah. What we remember of the Akedah seems to have nothing to do with the Akedah Lamaisa. The actual Akedah, the binding, was a very small feature. Yeah? Yitzhak said, Abba, tie me down. I don't want to maybe move and become apostle. So, okay, that's a big deal. It wasn't even Yitzhak's Nisoyin. Why it wasn't Yitzhak's Nisoyin is a discussion in the Shreem. I'm not going to go into now. Why wasn't this the Akedah's, we call it Akedah's Yitzhak, but it wasn't Yitzhak's Nisoyin. It's Avram, the Pasuk says clearly Avram's being tested. In Muslim, there wasn't Nisoyin Yer of Yitzhak. He heard it from his father, and he didn't hear it from Hashem himself. Whatever, okay. What do we remember on Rosh Hashanah? The ram. What was the big deal of shechting the ram? You were just about to kill your son and you didn't kill your son. So you go and you bring a korban. that's the big memory. Well, what did you do here? Well, what's the big? Meshach Chochmah asks Kasha. Well, what's the big thing with the ram? That's what we remember. We should take out the knife. On Rosh Hashanah, the chazan, or whatever, should get up on the beam and take out the knife and say, Hashem, remember the knife. Abraham didn't shecht his son with this knife. Yeah, it sounds strange, no? Well, the Japanese do it with their samurais or whatever. They worship their swords. So take out the knife. I'm serious. I'm not being facetious. If you wanna get Hashem's attention on Rosh Hashanah, take out the knife. I nearly shechted my son. What's the ram? What's the ram's horn? We blow the shofar. Makarepo. And there's nothing like that shofar. That shofar, the Gemara says, takes you into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. A person blows shofar on Rosh Hashanah, he goes, each Jew goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim because of that thing. And I'll show you another thing in the Pasuk. It's a pillar. It's an absolute pillar. I think I've been in the Shiloh a few times. It's after putting on tefillin, yeah? There's a flame. That's it. I said it this morning, don't worry. Yeah. Avram's just about to shecht Yitzhak. V'yishlach Avram yis yodoi v'yikach yis amacheles lishchot yis benoi. Can you imagine that moment? Yeah, his sword's there, the snaf said, he's just about to shecht Yitzchak. V'yikra alav malach min ha-shamayim v'yom Avram Avram. It says Avram Avram. Unfortunately, he's playing. You know what it says Avram Avram? There's an Avram down here in this world, and there's an Avram in the higher world. Yeah? Those two Avrams don't look the same. Yeah, sure down here and sure Shoresh and Shoma don't look the same. Alavah, they would, but they don't. Because I'm down here doing what I'm doing. When you're able to have your neshama down here looking the same way as it does in the Olamos, in the Shoresh of your neshama, then you can say Avram, Avram. He means he was telling Avram, your neshama there and your neshama here are now exactly the same. You've perfected yourself. You've gone back to being what your Shoresh and neshama is. He says, Avram, Avram, v'yoni ineni. He says, here I am. He says, al tishlach yod ke lana, val taslom umah. Don't stretch your hand out, don't shecht him, don't do nothing. Ki ata yodati ki yor lakimata v'lo chasachte esbincha esichedecha mimeni. Now I know that you fear Hashem, because you didn't withhold your firstborn, your beloved Yitzchak from me. Now that should be fine, that should be it, no? That's all the brochas. Now give him all the brochas. He doesn't give him all the brochas. V'yis Avram zeinav, Avram lifts up his eyes, v'yar even a ayil acha, nechaz bezvach bakarnav, v'yelech Avram v'yikach es ayil, v'yale yiloi tachos b'nai. Now he brings up the ayil tachas benoi. He brings up the ayil in place of Yitzchak. Fine, okay. He brought a korban. What's tachas benoi? Okay. Now, then Avram names the place. And then, Vayikra malach Hashem el Avram shenis mishamayim. Now the malach comes again. V'yayim ki nishbati inum Hashem. Now it's really a level of shvuas. Ki yan asher asis es adova hazeh. Because you did this thing. Which thing? Which thing? You did this thing. Which thing? V'lo chasachte es bincha, es yechidecha. And also you never, the Meshech Chochma says, talking about two things here. You did this thing. Obviously talking about the aisle, yeah? And you didn't withhold your son from me. What are those two things in the same chapter? In the same verse? You didn't kill your son. Well done. You were ready to kill your son for me. And you shechted a lamb. Weren't they doing the same possible? Yeah? If I'd ask you to kill your son, right? Well, that's quite a rough one, yeah? And I ask you to please slaughter a sheep. Most people here would get squeamish, not about the moil. The moil might be okay shechting a sheep. But most of us here would be a bit squeamish about shechting a sheep. But it wouldn't be a major nisoin, yeah? But take your son and shecht your son. Remember my kids were playing in the garden. They were playing with the neighbors. And I remember I heard them saying they were playing Yitzchak, Yitzchak. Yeah, when I heard the neighbor saying he's going to be Avram and my son's going to be Yitzchak, I stopped the game. Yeah? Kids, you can't rely on to be squeamish. But what they're doing in the same pasuk. And now come all the brachas. Meshech Chochma points out the brachas couldn't come before the Shechita Sayah. Couldn't come before the Shechita Sayah. What's going on? The whole pasuk is one big, the whole pasha, the kid is one big kasha after kasha. Doesn't make any sense. I think I've mentioned it here, certainly to individuals, but in the groups as well. Rav Mordechai Miller points out that the nisoyin of the Akedah wasn't that Avram Avinu had a hard time going and shechting his son. If Hashem told him to take his son and shecht his son, he shecht his son. And he wasn't worried too much about what people would say either, because even in our generation we have gedolim who don't fear any man. They do the Rotzen Hashem and they're not fearful of the Rotzen Hashem. It was the middle of the Brisker Rov. So many stories about the Brisker Rov where Mamash risked his life because that was what was Torah was, even in the face of the Russian army and the Tsar, whoever it was. If that's what Hashem wants, you fear no man, you do what Hashem wants. I remember it wasn't people who were going to say it. He might have been worried about the Chilul Hashem aspect of it, but that he was worried about himself. He was happy to jump into the fires of all custom. He wasn't too concerned about people what would say. If he goes, didn't Hashem told him to shecht his son? You shecht your son. Where's the nisoyin in that for Avram Avinu? So Rav Mordechai Miller explains, Avram Avinu had built himself into the kind of person that could only do the Rotzen Hashem. He could not do the Rotzen Hashem. To ask Avram Avinu to do something that's not the Rotzen Hashem, even if Hashem would ask him to do it, he couldn't do it. And Avram knew that the Rotzen Hashem was that Yitzchak shouldn't die. And Hashem says to him, I know, but do it anyway. So he's doing the Rotzen Hashem knowing it's not the Rotzen Hashem. That's how he explains the Nisoyin. Now it's been bothering me for years and years and years. I don't know what that means. It sounds very nice. It's blondish. Yeah, it's very geschmack. But what does it mean? What was the Nisoyin here? Hashem's telling you to do it. So what, Hashem's lying? I mean, what exactly was the Nisoyin here? Avram knows it's not the Ratzon Hashem, but Hashem's telling him to do it. I couldn't get my fingers onto what the actual Nisoyin was. What do I do with that? It's a nice story, but what am I supposed to learn from that? So with Zoyche, sometimes it says you need to wait many, many years. 20 years already been waiting. I heard recently the following idea. Rav Waxman quotes Rav Aaron Kotler on the same Yesod, and he says the same Chiddush. Rav Aaron says the same Chiddush, that the Nisoyin of Avram Avinu was to do something that he knew wasn't the Ratzon Hashem, but he takes it one step further. When you're doing something that you know is not the Ratzon Hashem, when your whole essence is only to do the Ratzon Hashem, you do it without Cheshek. You do it without Cheshek. Avram Avinu had to do something that he knew he didn't want to do. He had no feeling for it because his whole emotional base was to do only what Hashem wanted, and he knew Hashem didn't want this to happen, but he had to do it because Hashem said do it. So he had to do it without any cheshek. Atimus Halev. Avram Avinu was being tested in the world of Atimus Halev. Go do something that you have no cheshek to do whatsoever, but do it because it's the right thing, because I'm asking you to do it. So Rav Aaron explains. Which means what? In order to do this Nisoyin, yeah, you have to create a Yesh Miayin. In the world of Atimus Halev, of where you are 100% built into only doing the Ratzon Hashem, you understand and are so much attuned to the Ratzon Hashem that you work out for yourself the entire Torah. The Torah is the Ratzon Hashem. Avram Avinu worked out the entire Ratzon Hashem. That's how fine-tuned he was. That's how much he resonated with the Ratzon Hashem. Yeah. That in order to go do something that he knew wasn't the Ratzon Hashem, to with Cheshek, he had to create something new. He had to create something new in himself. Because the middle of Atimus Halev is not going to help him. He can't take it and use the positive aspect of Atimus Halev. There's no positive aspect in there. So he has to create something completely new. Yesh Miayin. And that's why it's the Nisoyin, the final Nisoyin, is a Nisoyin of this level, that if you don't pass this test, the other tests aren't that worth it, because all the other tests, you just did what you were capable of doing. You didn't know you were capable of doing it. I squeezed you so hard that you mamash, you got to levels where you never realized you could get to. How high can you jump? 10 feet. I sent a pulpit terrier after you that hasn't eaten for 6 months. You'll jump 20 feet if that's how high the wall is. But you could jump 20 feet. You didn't do anything miraculous. It looks miraculous. You just did what you were capable of doing. But if I ask you to jump 100 feet, there'd be 20 pit bull terriers running after you can't jump 100 feet. When you jumped that 100 feet, how did you do that? Must be something new happened here. Had you become worthy of that Yesh Miayin? That's the aisle. It fits in with what Meshech Chochmah says. The Meshech Chochmah's pshat on what was so special about the aisle is the following. Let's say, just madama, that you are... Don't look at me like that.
I just don't understand.
Now I can see you don't understand. That's what I'm saying. Ask your question. Don't look at me like that. It's making me nervous.
I just don't understand. You said that a person who has got a big, who's connected to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he hasn't got a, when he does the Rotzen, he hasn't got a Cheshek?
He has no Cheshek. He's doing the Rotzen. He's getting. No! When Avram Avinu is off to do the Akedah, he knows he's doing something that's not the Rotzen Hashem. Where does he get Cheshek to do that from?
But no Cheshek to do what's not the Rotzen Hashem.
Yeah, it's not the Rotzen Hashem. Hashem says, go daven this morning. Yeah? So one of the Malay Musa, I can't remember what it was, he said he davened for 2 years without any feeling at all. He had a nisoyin of 2 years. The Klausenberg Rebbe said about himself as well, when he came to Eretz Yisrael's nickname Yusurim, his spiritual Yusurim as well. He said he davened for 2 years without any cheshek at all. He davened because Hashem says you've got to daven, so I davened. And then the Shemaim opened up for him, he said. No cheshek. Sometimes, anybody in this room doesn't know what I'm talking about. When you have to do something, you do it without cheshek. You do it just because you have to do it. Yeah, your learning's always animated and exciting and wow, and if it is, you've got a problem.
What's the big Messiah? People do things without
Cheshek. Besada, we have to see. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So you can carry on just doing it without Cheshek.
Yeah, you can do that.
Besada, that's part of the Nisan. That's part of the Nisan of this generation. Of Aloch Patli, I don't care. So do it anyway. Fine. What is Mesh Hochman says like this, what was the enormous elevated level of the aisle? Why is the aisle the big deal here, yeah? So he says like this, imagine you were asked to do something very, very difficult. Very difficult. And you really don't want to do it. And it's hard. I've got to check my son. And what's Rochel going to, what's Sarah going to say? And how am I going to deal with it? And you've got a major Nisoyin going on here, right? And at the last minute, they say to you, you know that feeling when you got long tachanun on a Thursday morning and you had a late night, you just don't really feel like it, and they're just about to, you know, start tachanun, and the guy comes on the bim and there's a moil there. You know that feeling where, oh, Baruch Hashem, I don't have to say tachanun? I'm not the only one who's had that feeling, yeah? Yeah, you know that feeling? So that's how Rabbi Avinu should have felt. Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, don't kill Yitzchak. He should have gone like, wow, Boch Hashem, shoo. You know, phone up siren, say, you know, we're having a siyum tonight. What does he do? He starts looking around. What are you talking about? Don't kill my son. You're talking about, I got ready to do this. You told me to do it. What do you mean don't do it? And he lifts up his eyes. He doesn't just see an eye. He lifts up his eyes. He makes a conscious effort to try and find some substitute. Tachas benoi. Have a look what the Sforno says there. Sforno says, Avraham Avinu wanted all that he put into shechting Yitzchak went into that aisle. The Zohar says that Yitzchak's neshama went into the aisle. He actually did shecht Yitzchak. That's why it says the ashes of Yitzchak come before me, even though Avraham Avinu never shechted Yitzchak and never burnt Yitzchak. Whatever. That's all esoteric. Whatever. You see, there was a total desire to continue with this mitzvah. How did he get from doing something with no cheshek to going and shecht in the aisle, full on with cheshek? That's the Yesh Miayin. That was the Yesh Miayin. He went and he knew he had to do something that was against the Ratzon Hashem. Okay, our nisoyin is not going against doing things which are not the Ratzon Hashem. That's why we don't have cheshek. That would be amazing. You know why I want to daven this morning, Hashem, is because I know you don't want me to daven. But I'll do it anyway, because you said... No, that's not our problem. That's not our nisoyin. Each person's got to go discover his own nisoyin. He's got to discover his own Yesh Miayin. He's got to find his own. You've got to get very creative. And that's why it's Avraham Avinu, because Avraham Avinu had to find it for himself. He didn't have a Rebbe he could phone up and ask. Avraham Avinu had to do it on his own. That's why this generation is an Avraham Avinu generation. You have to discover it on your own. Today, Baruch Hashem, we're not totally on our own. You can go speak and you can go ask, but be'etzem, you've got to discover this in yourself. You've got to discover this in yourself. If a person is in a state of Atimas Halev, he's in a state of Bilbul Adayas, it's very, very hard for you to discover it yourself. The Ikar Avoider in this is Tfilah, of course. The Ikar Avoider in getting from a state of Atimas Halev to Pischa Halev is through Tfilah. And what really split the Yamsuf, what really split the sea, which the Sasemesh says was the Nisoyin of the Akedah, was Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh. Okay. Those are just the foundations. We'll build this, we'll carry this on later, but I want to share with you the most amazing Maisa that's Megala, a certain aspect here. Moedika Maisa. The Stei Chemed. You all heard of the Stei Chemed? You ever looked at the Stei Chemed? Even in a generation of computers today, it's hard to imagine that anybody had such a tfis on Kuru Teru Kula. I mean, it's just not normal. 10 volumes, how many is it? 12 volumes? 10 volumes of Stei Chemed is just like, they didn't have computers in those days, didn't they? I mean, it's like Bar Ilan in his head. I mean, it's quite astounding. And he writes in the Hakdama that he wasn't from the greatest of the Talmidim. He was one of the Shvacha Talmidim. He wasn't from the Shpitzi Talmidim. He was part of a Kailo, and there was a certain Rov where he lived that had a Kailo where the guys were sitting and learning. It was quite a Mechudishdika thing. And he said he was one of the Shvacha ones of the Chabura. He wasn't from the greats of the Chabura. But he was a big, big Masmid. He learnt and learnt and learnt day and night. He was in the best Midrash learning. There was a Balabos in Shtot that wasn't very keen on this new shit of having people sitting and learning full time. It's not a new problem. A little bit anti people sitting and learning, yeah? It's parasitical and whatever, and it's not good. So he wanted to give it a bad name. There was an Arab cleaning woman. An Arab cleaning woman that used to clean the Beis Midrash every night. So he paid her to come into the Beis Midrash the next morning and shy that the Stei Chemed started up with her last night. Yeah? Try to. And she did. She came in the next morning and she was screaming and shouting and putting fingers over wherever. He writes that he was so embarrassed. He was so broken and so busher from the whole event that he had to leave town. He couldn't stay in Shtot anymore. He was broken from the whole event and he left town and he went and he sat somewhere far away. And he sat there and he learned, but he said it was terrible. He was from the embarrassment, whatever. He was Kaputo, someone who's embarrasses if any public killed him. So he said he was shattered. After a certain amount of time, this Arab woman came to the Stei Chemed and she said to him, listen, the money that I got from the guy to do what I did ran out. She's a very practical woman. She needs her job back. Yeah. So if you'll go back and tell the boss of the Kailo, yeah, that he must take me back, I'll make a public announcement that the whole thing was a sheker and the whole thing was a, and that I was paid and whatever and that you didn't do anything and you're a good boy and everything's fine. So he said at that moment he felt such a relief, such a weight off his heart that he was just about to do it. And then he thought to himself, one second, the story that happened 2 years ago has died down, it's finished. No one remembers it anymore. Yeah, they've got other things to worry about. She'll come back into town and start saying, I took money from him and I did it, whatever. Suddenly the whole thing will start again. The Loshon Horos will start again. The Sinas Chins will start again. There'll be whole discussions, whatever. There'll be big Chilul Hashem. And I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. Can you imagine the Nisoy? You get your name cleared in town. You can go back to the Kohel, go back to town, or for the rest of your life. You live being someone that started up with an Arab woman in the middle of the night, yeah? With all the ramifications. He said he decided there and then. He told her, listen, I'll speak to the Rosh Kohel and I'll get you your job back. On one condition. You don't say anything. You quietly go back to work and that's it. Finished. Finished. Not another word. And I'm staying in Golis and I'm not going back to the Shtot. He says at that moment, doesn't happen that often. At that moment, he said, he was lifted up into a new place and the Shaar HaShemayim were opened before him. He said, the Shaar HaShemayim were opened before him. Go have a look in the Stechem and Agdoma there. It's a fantastic Loshon. I can't do justice here. And he started understanding things and seeing things and getting a grasp on Torah that he could never, ever have imagined before. And from that came the Stechemet. So we ask ourselves, how do we get there? How do we do it? How do we create this Yeshman? That's not a Yeshmiayim. How do you do that? How do you stand in a song like this? David HaMelech went to his grave with the whole world thinking that he wasn't the right guy, until Shlomo HaMelech couldn't get into the Beis HaMikdash until they mentioned David's name. Then suddenly everybody realized who David was. Sometimes a person gets into a bit of trouble, they clear his name before the Stechemet went to his grave, I think, with this cloud hanging over his head. But the Shaar HaShemayim, he said, he was lifted up into a new place and the Shaar HaShemayim were opened before him. Who wouldn't want that to happen? It takes an enormous amount of mysterious nefesh. The way we avoid the Chevle Mashiach, the way we avoid the sufferings of the pre-Mesiach generation, and there's plenty. There's no shortage of Nisonim, Gidul Bonim, Shalom Bayis, Panosa. You go through Avraham Avinu's 10 tests. It's not hard to find. The fires of Ur Kasdim, it's a very, very hard Nisonim. Everybody here has already Makayim the Mitzvah. You can tick it off of Lech Lecha. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here. And it's an ongoing Nisonim. But the Akeda only comes with Mesiras Nefesh, and that's the Lasek B'Torah Ugemilis Chosodim. So enough to be Lasek B'Torah. Baruch Hashem, Lasek B'Torah, there's no problems there. You can tick that off as well. You can tell them in my name. Yeah, everyone has Lasek B'Torah. Maybe one exception. Gemilis Chosodim, that's the Mesiras Nefesh. The Mesiras Nefesh of a Ben Torah, sometimes you have to close your Gemara to help another yid. You have to know when and how and what, but chesed is something that's got to be an asik. It's not just something that by chance some guy comes collecting, so you give him a tzedakah. Chesed has to be, it's got to be an asik. The same way as Torah is an asik, and we plan it and work it out, we have sedarim for it. That's my suggestion. Go have a look, you'll see Avraham Avinu's Omer HaChesed, it was Omer HaChesed. If there's a mysterious nefesh that you want to find that doesn't involve all the sufferings of Hevel HaMashiach, try and make an asik out of chesed. Kosh Baruch Hu in the schus of that will bless us, that we'll also be lifted up to places we've never been to, and the Shaar HaShemayim should be opened up for every one of us here as well.
Amen.
The first Nisoyin is that the Teal is on next Monday, not this Wednesday. So those of you who have trouble with that, I apologize, but it's none of the Rebbeim could come on Wednesday, so Mitzvah Shem will do it on Wednesday. Oh, so that's what I said. The Rishonim will discuss that. Why that was Yitzchak's, Avram's test, not Yitzchak's Nisoyin. It seems a bigger Nisoyin for Yitzchak.
But we're describing what Avram went through as Mesiras Nefesh.
Yeah, so and we all know that it was his Nisoyin. It wasn't Yitzchak's Nisoyin. I'll tell you why. Because Yitzchak's Etzem Teva was to do that. Avram had to create a Teva himself to do that. It wasn't his Etzem Teva.
Everyone's saying
it wasn't Mesiras Nefesh. He had to give up his whole Olam Haba. He had to give up his whole future. He had to give up Klal Yisrael. He was giving up his whole Olam Haba. Whenever you find an Nisoyin Mesiras Nefesh of the Avos and there, you're talking about Olam Haba. Yehuda, when Yehuda said about Tamar, she's greater than me, he wasn't just being embarrassed because, you know, everyone's going to be talking about the God Lador now. He was giving up Olam Haba. When Rachel gave Leah the Simonim, what was she giving up? A chance to marry Yaakov. She was giving up a chance to be the mother of Klal Yisrael. That was a big Nisoyin. All right, this has to be built. I just wanted to shaver es Oznayim first.
Whenever I've got this. From Hashem to shech his son. Why doesn't
he never got a Stephen to shech his son? He said, bring him up as an oiler. He never ever told him to shech him. The penalty kazach. He never ever told him to shech him. Where did Avraham even get this idea? That's how it all seems to be understood.
It wasn't considered like the new rotzen of Hashem.
No.
Avraham didn't talk about it as
no,
as
bring him up as an oiler. No, because he knew that Yitzhak Avinu was going to live and was going to be the future of Klal Yisrael. He knew that. Yeah. So you can't want me to kill him. I know you don't want me to kill him. But Hashem never told you to kill him.
So why did it go? Why did Avram go ahead?
Oh, okay, that's a bit bullshit. Okay, I told you this. What I said here is not the whole thing. It's a tip of the tip. No, just one extra step that the Rav Aaron opens up on Rav Moshe Chaim, this extra aspect of understanding what that nisoyin of doing something when you know that's not the Ratzon Hashem. The nisoyin for us is not our Ratzon. Our Ratzon and Hashem's Ratzons aren't aligned. Hashem wants me to get up and do something. I really don't have cheshek for it. And a lot of us feel that. A lot of us feel this. When you work in chinuch today with the kids and whatever, the kids don't have cheshek. They're heavy. They don't want to do it. They'll do it because it's the right thing. That's why if you ask them if they're a guy, they'd all say no. Because my male, I've got to be a good boy. I've got to keep the Torah because Hashem asked me to do the Torah. I'll keep it. But if I don't have to do it, I'm out of here. Someone is doing it with cheshek. So I'm Jewish, I'm not Jewish. Who cares? I have a relationship with Hashem. I love him. He loves me. How? Why would I give that up? Just because I'm not machayev? So I'll make myself machayev. That's the sort of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was a ger, he wasn't a bal tshuva. We're all gerim, we're not bal tshuva. Rabbi Tisya told me that the dinim of oivus ager, all the mitzvahs, dozens and dozens of mitzvahs of oivus ager apply to every bal tshuva. Kahaloch, he said, I'm telling you, I'll be psak. Rabbi Tisya Solomon, he said, I'm not telling you, I'll be hashkofa. I'll be psak. He holds. I'm not saying it's a psak mufer, you have to find out if you ask a poisek, I don't know. But he said, the psak of oivus ager applies to every bal tshuva. Because he has a din of a ger today, not of a bal tshuva. Because he's going to a place he's never been before. A bal tshuva is somebody who comes to a place, he goes back to where he was. That's an etzem bal tshuva. A bal tshuva today is not going back to where he was. He's going to a place he's never been before. No, that's a ger. He's going somewhere new. Where there's no friends, no connections, no protector, no network. Doesn't even have a bench properly. And doesn't even make kiddush properly. Friday night, do you want to make your own kiddush? No, God forbid. Will you lead the bench? No!
You know,
it's,
so you said we can stand in the
Kiddush. Said, okay. All right, your boy, sir. Good luck.